So the epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which had affinity to that Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ had made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, and in like manner also the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Please be seated. Go and sin no more. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as I mentioned, we've reached this halfway point in Lent. With Laetare Sunday, so the church gives to us the understanding of rejoicing in the fact that we are halfway done with our Lenten penances, that we see Easter so close to us. And therefore it is a time of, yes, rejoicing because Easter is so close. And we are before the 2 weeks, the 2 most important weeks, we can say in the liturgical calendar, Passion Week, and then that leads into Holy Week. In Holy Week, we have the Sacred Triduum and then the Feast of Easter. And so therefore, yes, we have this sense and this idea of joy. And the church gives us many lessons in this time period of Lent. The liturgy, we know, is full of lessons for us, giving us a readiness to prepare ourselves for this great feast of Easter. And it's good for us to sometimes to look at the different readings that we have in the time period of Lent. One of the things that St. Thomas says when he was talking about, St. Thomas Aquinas, when he was talking about this Sunday, he had mentioned the fact that we will produce in our soul a peace and a joy, but it will stem from the charity that we have. And that charity, obviously, is the love of God that we have. And that is why we do the things that we do in the time period of Lent, the sacrifices, the penances that we take on, the extra things that maybe we try to do, we do it because we love Almighty God. We want to show that. We want to illustrate that to Him. And so as I say, with the readings, we gain so many lessons for us. On Friday, we had the famous reading of the Samaritan woman at the well. That's where our Lord explains to her about the living water. And with that, she is surprised that our Lord would even talk to her because she is a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans, the Jews considered the Samaritans kind of second-class citizens. And so therefore, they wouldn't even talk to them. And yet, we see that our Lord approaches her about water from the well. And so therefore, she naturally looks at it in terms of the well itself and the water that comes from that. But our Lord shows to her that He is talking about something else, living water, sanctifying grace. But then also from that, like I say, for her, she is surprised that our Lord would even talk to her. And then our Lord asks her to go get her husband. She said she doesn't have a husband. The whole idea and the whole sense of then how our Lord explains to her her life, of how she's lived a life away from the graces of God. And yet our Lord still offers to her this living water, if she only knew the gift of God. So in some ways, our Lord doesn't judge the life that she has lived, but waiting to see, will she accept then this grace? Is she willing to take from Him these words? We can say words of life in the true sense, that they are words of life that bring to her this sanctifying grace, this life of God within her soul. And continuing on Saturday, so yesterday, there is also again another example of not judging, we can say, by appearances, certainly. We had it in the readings, the epistle, and in the gospel itself. Two different examples from that. And I think it's important for us then to see how our Lord handles these situations, or obviously with the epistle itself, how God directed this to take place. And so that is the famous Susanna, where she was then accused of committing a sin, because two elders made that accusation for her. And the two elders obviously were well respected by the Jewish people. And yet we know that these two elders are the ones that tried to fall into or have her fall into sin. And so that is something that she was condemned even though being innocent. And you look and see how Susanna handled that situation. She did not want to offend Almighty God, and so therefore she said, it is better for me than to fall into this trap that they have, where they will falsely accuse me. And so that is how then she handled it. But she trusted in God. And we see that she prays to God. She said, I have tried to live my life pleasing to You, but I need Your help. I need this to help me out of this situation. And that is where then Almighty God raised up the young Daniel, the prophet. And so He immediately says, you know, basically tells the people, how can you judge her so quickly on no evidence? Basically, all you have is the word of these two elders. And that is it. And so therefore, Daniel proves that they lied. And therefore, they were condemned. And so we see from this, we see how our Lord shows to us how quickly the people just judge based on the word of these two men. And it wasn't based on any factual evidence that they had besides their testament, but how quickly that they judged this innocent woman. And therefore, God raised up Daniel to prove that point. And then in the gospel account, you know, you have the woman that is taken in sin. And again, you have the people so quick to judge her. I mean, granted, yes, she committed a sin. Therefore, according to their law, she would be stoned. But they wanted to try to trap our Lord in seeing what He would do with that. And so therefore they ask our Lord, so this is what the law says. What would you have us do? And our Lord knows what they're trying to do to him. And so that is where we have the famous example of our Lord drawing in the sand. And he says to them, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And many, many spiritual authors write and say what our Lord was writing in the sand was actually their sins. And again, they say that from the eldest of them, they walk out. They keep walking out until there is no one there to condemn her. And so then our Lord asks her, is there no man here to condemn you? And she says, no man. No man is here. And our Lord says, neither will I, but sin no more. And so certainly our Lord is not making light of the grave sins that she fell into. But again, we see the grace of God that is offered to a soul. And through that grace of God, she accepts it and therefore lives a good life. That she truly then sins no more. But again, on appearances, they were going to stone her. Just as Susanna, on appearances, they were going to condemn her to death. And so it's helpful for us then to see that for our lives and how we deal with other people around us, very easily a lot of times we will judge on appearances. We will make rash judgments about people, judgmental statements about them. But God knows what is in the heart. And even in some ways we can see it from the opposite. On the appearances, very good, but in the interior, not so. And so therefore, it is important for us to focus on our own soul. I mean, that is what is important for us, as opposed to looking at everyone else and spotting their sins, their weaknesses, their faults. It helps for us to look in a mirror and look at ourselves. So as I say, Lent gives us many different lessons, many different opportunities to look. And as I say, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about if we want to produce in our soul peace and joy, which this is a Sunday for that, especially thinking about, it stems from the true charity that we have. That is where then we will gain peace and joy for our soul. Coming from obviously, the charity that we have, the charity that we illustrate toward God, but then toward our neighbor too. And how important that is for us. And so, yes, take the lessons that the church gives to us. Read. If you're not able to make it to, you know, the daily masses in Lent, at the very least, try to read maybe the epistles and gospels from each of the days, because they're all special to that day. And that is where we see the liturgy of Lent is so fruitful. There is so much there because it has specific masses for every day of the week. And so therefore, it helps us to read and see what the church is trying to give to us as lessons. How is it trying to instruct us? And so, yes, we see on Friday the woman being offered this living water, sanctifying grace, coming from her sinful life. And then how on yesterday, on Saturday, the two examples of judging other people, passing judgment upon their soul. And how we need to be careful of having these judgmental thoughts, these rash judgments towards other souls. And so our Lord shows the forgiveness that he is willing to give all souls. Again, as long as they are sorry for their sins, and we see in the cases of this woman accepting then, the Samaritan woman accepting now this grace that is offered to her, wasn't even of the faith, and therefore she accepts this grace, that she goes into the town talking about, he was able to read my life, he's a prophet. And then we have, obviously, the woman that was taken, that she then takes these words of our Lord, you know, to sin no more. And going forth and, you know, obviously knowing that she could have been condemned to death by stones. But yet when our Lord says, I will not condemn you, but sin no more. that was that offer of grace to her, this living water that flows into the soul. And that is what our Lord was offering to the Samaritan woman, living water, water that will help you that you will never die. And that is what is so important for us in this time period of Lent, of keeping within our soul, of how easily we can fall from the grace of God, and therefore that's why we need confession, that is why we need these opportunities. To make a good confession during this time, to be able to receive the graces from God, of what he is offering out to our soul. So let us pray for these graces, let us take advantage of this time frame, taking advantage of the mission, taking advantage of the extra masses or the benedictions, the stations of the cross. You know, try to take advantage for your soul. Because God offers graces to us. And they may come and then go. So try to take advantage of that. Like I say, pray for these graces for your soul. And then we can heed the words that our Lord said to the woman, "Go and sin no more." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.